Proverbs for the day, November the 10th, Proverbs chapter 10, three verses, verse 22, 26, and 27. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, it's some book, this Bible, and it's some book, this Proverbs. We'll just think about two main thoughts today as we look at these verses for November the 10th out of Proverbs 10. And we'll look, first of all, at verse 22. He says here, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, you know, I think sometimes people mistake the fact that there were times when God blessed physically, materially in the Old Testament. They forget that many of the Old Testament blessings in the Old Testament were spiritual blessings. They were personal relationship blessings. They were peace blessings. They were sometimes just eating your food in peace blessings. So number one, there are riches without sorrow. But they're not the riches of this world primarily. Everything in my Bible tells me to beware of riches. And the reason is because earthly riches, the Bible calls them different things. It calls it filthy lucre. I don't know if you've ever read a little article or not about how many hands money passes through. Of course, nowadays people are doing more and more electronically. So I would imagine it'd be like the lady I saw the other day with her handy wipe out, or whatever you want to call it, her alcohol wipe, wiping off the keypad before she used it at the grocery store. And, you know, you're going to pick up stuff. They've got handy wipes now to wipe off the cart on your grocery cart because of the filth of the world. And so filthy lucre is not, it can be literally that from passing through hands, but it's filthy in that what it does. Now, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Rich in grace. There's no sorrow over that. A rich in faith. Why, you know, when you have faith to get through something, there's a richness that comes with that. When you decide to trust the Lord and then the Lord helps you, which the Bible says he will help you, and bear one of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Listen, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Well, listen, don't be dividing your Bible up by books. You'll miss something there. He's saying that you can have a great blessing, a great hope by faith, even though on earth you might be lacking some things that others have. In fact, by the standard of other countries, you might not be poor, but maybe by American standards, you are. They do good, that they be rich in good works. So rich in grace, rich in faith, rich in good works. That's 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. You see, there are riches without sorrow. And there are great riches. The Christian life is the life of a rich man. No, we don't always have abundance of money in our pocket. In fact, if we do what he said in 2 Corinthians 8, we might have to pray in some of the basics so that we can help the work of God. You know, there's a thing going around today where people are scared to death to say that, so they preach this abundance thing. What if your abundance is in heaven? Amen. Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Not just rich in grace, rich in faith, rich in good works, but rich in mercy. See, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There's no sorrow in God's grace. There's no sorrow in faith. There's no sorrow in true good works, 1 Timothy 6. There's no sorrow in mercy. We need to remind ourselves of the riches we have in Christ Jesus. And we could do a whole message on that, and we have a few on that, actually. But this is a devotion today. Paul says this in his list of things that we are. and that he was liking it, he was saying about himself. He gets down through there and he says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, already, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Child of God, it's important for you to get hold of this truth. You are rich in Christ Jesus. You can be missing out on the fact that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. You could be missing out on some of the greatest blessings of life by not realizing what your riches in Christ are. There are riches without sorrow. And those riches are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn how to be, how to abound, and learn how to be abased. He said, I have learned whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content in Philippians. There are riches without sorrow. Secondly, there is a responsibility on our part. Verse 26, Proverbs 10, as vinegar to the teeth. You ever take some straight vinegar? Some of us, you know, use vinegar and honey every day. You ever just get some of that straight vinegar, or you get some of that vinegar and oil salad, and you get some of that straight vinegar in there to the teeth, as smoke to the eyes? You ever be burning a fire or burning rubbish or something, and that smoke gets you right in the face? So is the sluggard to them that send him. Wow. Imagine what it's like, how wise the Lord is. You know, chapter 10, verse 4 says, He becometh poor that dealeth with the slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. That's in this Proverbs chapter 10. So if you want the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it, we have to be diligent in our Christian life. You say, well, he freely gave it. Well, he freely gave them the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. They didn't eat of it because they weren't diligent. How about that? Diligent. Diligent. You know, there's a responsibility on our part, and our aim is perfection. When you aim a rifle, you're aiming for the dot, the spot. You have a reality that you might not. Some of y'all ever play golf, you know how difficult it is. Well, you still take perfect aim each time, even though you have to know what's an acceptable result. And so it's that way in the Christian life. There is a responsibility on our part. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You know, you can try to haste to be rich for God's blessing. You can't do that. You can't be faithful two or three days and then expect the blessings of someone who's faithful for a year. That just doesn't work that way. There's no shortcuts with God. So, well, that's trying to earn it. No. It's a responsibility. A responsibility on our part. Now, the word diligent, for example, is used all through your Bible. You know it's used in Proverbs, all over the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Diligence goes hand in hand with a walk for Jesus Christ. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Your word mean right there in English, if you just look it up in English, it means obscure. It means basic. It means middle of the road sort of thing. He said he'll stand before kings, not mean men. He said diligent in his business. We should be diligent. We need to be diligent. You know, in 2 Peter, he tells us to add some things, and he said with all diligence, add some things to our life. And the reason it takes diligence is because we have to actually put some effort into it. He said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. See, it's all about diligence. We must be diligent. Now, there's verses upon verses upon verses. But you'll never regret diligence in your walk or your worship or your works. It has nothing to do with numbers. It has nothing to do with comparisons. It has nothing to do with growth. But it does have everything to do with diligence. I've said this before and it won't hurt to say it again. Set effort goals. Effort goals. Don't set outcome goals. Okay? It's a real big deal in the modern church today to have all these outcome goals. No, set your effort goals and let it go to God. The surest way to corrupt your works for God, the surest way to bring in bad tactics, is to have outcome goals. Okay? But if you'll set effort goals, you know, I'm going to knock on so many doors, or I'm going to pass out so many tracts, or I'm going to pray every day over this list and stuff. If you'll set effort goals, if you do what you ought to do today, you'll be where you ought to be tomorrow, Bob Jones Sr. used to say. And so there are riches without sorrow, and there is a responsibility on our part.